depending on me.
Yeah. But here we go again. It's a Christian conference. Just got enough time to drink, just have a little drink, and then back to meetings. That's what I like about Christians. Everything is rush, 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 rush. Just relax, just relax. Hi, Tom. Tom and I know each other, it's okay. A strange thing happened to me in Norway a number of years ago when I met a Lutheran, do you call them priests? Yeah, a Lutheran priest. Did I say something wrong for the young lady? It's okay. We were in an elevator in a hotel, just him and me. And you know what it's like when you're in a lift and you don't know the person next to you. You're either head down. So I had my head down looking at his shoes. And he clearly was looking at me. So we got to the floor, the ground floor, and got out of the elevator. And he said, I enjoyed your word to a point. Up to a point. I said, I'm glad you enjoyed my word. No, he said, up to a point. No, I said, I'm so glad you enjoyed my word up to the point of agreement. You agreed up to a point. That's right, he said. Well, I said, could I ask you what you disagreed with? Well, yes, he said, I agreed to the point that Jesus had died to forgive us for our sins. And he said, I agreed with that. But then he said, you said that we are no longer sinners. I said, that's right. But I disagree with that. I said, I see. I said, I didn't say that you don't sin. But I did say we were no longer sinners. And I said, if you read the scriptures, you'll find I'm right. So up to that point, we continued our disagreement. He went his way. He may be with Jesus now, I don't know. But when I talked this morning about discipline yourself to godliness, most Christians are unable to discipline themselves to godliness because fundamentally they don't believe they are godly. So I'm going to describe to you now. There are so many scriptures I could give to you, but when I came here, I was told that you were people that knew the scriptures and you studied them all the time, and therefore you will know all the things that I'm going to say without reference. I'll just use the Pauline phrase, what Paul said. Somewhere in the scriptures, it is said. And leave the rest to you, okay? Let's begin on this basis, all of us. I think one of the readings this morning was from Romans chapter 3, from verse 23 following, I think. Yes. I was only listening through. But Romans 3:23 is this: for the wages, or for all have sinned. What does it say in Romans 3:23? It was read this morning.
All have sinned, and the portion of
the all have sinned. Use the word. Can you say that word with me? All.
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 Say it again.
All.
All. Now, how many of us does that mean?
All.
All. I like the word all. It's like when you go to the Lord and you suddenly say to him, people used to tell me in my evangelical days, you must tell the Lord all your sins. And I thought, I'll be here till I die. So until I heard all my sins, right? All of us are concluded to be sinners. Is that true? Or does it all have sinned? Now here's a fundamental difference. All of us have sinned, whether there's a lot of sins or just one. All of us have sinned and come short, fallen short of God's standard. Then the Bible goes on in Paul's letter, and the wages of sin is death. The wages of, for what you do to earn, you've earned something, it's called death. Wages, the wages for what you've done, the return is death. But the gift of God, that is something you can't work for, nothing you can do about it, it's just simply a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when Christians say, Amen. That took a lot of breath out of me. But see, the gift of God is eternal life. And it says this, and we could say, like the priest would say, that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all our sins. Put them all together, no matter what you've done, no matter what you did in the past, what you did in the present, what you're going to do in the future. All the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, removes from us all our sins. Does that make you feel good? If so, here's an illustration. When I was in China, I drew a picture for my Chinese evangelist friends, because we were in the mountains, without chalk, without a pen, without a paper. And this is what I did. Observe. Look. How many of you could tell me what I have drawn? Hands up, sir.
A smiley face.
Turn to somebody now and do that, would you?
You know?
dear. I'm looking at that clock. I always like clocks at 10 past 10 rather than 20 past 8. The face of the clock. I prefer the 10 past 10 one to the 20 past 8 one. You want to meet happy people. Yeah. My sins have all gone. There's nothing left. Jesus did it all.
Yeah, I believe.
No. Fantastic. Now, we agree with that. We still have a problem. Our sins, what we did not make us sinners. Yeah.
what we were made us commit sins. So if all the sins have been removed for the, by the precious blood of Jesus and they've all gone, I'm still there standing as a sinner. And the potential in me is to commit more. So something else has to happen. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sins. But here is another truth. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, and we died with him. Who died? The sinner. Me, you on the cross, dead. He was buried and we were buried with him. Romans chapter 6. And we were raised with him. Amen. Into a new life. Amen. No longer the nature of a sinner. Hallelujah. But we've been born of God. Yes. Born, John chapter 1, not by the will of man, not by the will of flesh, but born of God. Yes. We have his nature. Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, talk to us. I'll put a new heart within you. I'll take out the stony heart of unbelief. I'll put a new spirit in you. In other words, I'll make you a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You are a new creation. Yes, amen. So what does that make you? I'm a born again believer. My nature is I'm created in his image and his likeness. I have the ability to live his life because he's come to live in me. And now, therefore, I have no longer the desire to commit the sins I once used to do because I was a sinner. But now I want to commit acts of righteousness because I am righteous. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? It's important you understand it. Christians are not schizophrenics. Oh, brother, I lived like that for a day and then I fell. And then I ran to God and I said, God, forgive me. And I know the scripture said he forgives me straight away, but brother, I went for fasting for another 7 days. Just to prove to myself that I was forgiven. You don't have to. Salvation and walking in the grace of God is not you trying to do anything. It's just enjoy living. One of the Bible students in England came to me a few weeks ago and they said, we're trying to find out the will of God for our life. I said, wow, that's going to be a job. Well, it is. It is. You may know what to do today, but what about tomorrow and the day after? He said, how do you find the will of God? I said, I just do. What I feel like doing, I do. Well, it's not as easy as that. Yes, it is. It's as easy as that if you know that the life that you now live is no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. It's therefore walking by faith in him. Let me give you a simple idea. My daughter happens to be my secretary. That is, my life really is run by two ladies. At home, my wife runs my life. And now, don't get into the wonderful theories of who's the head of the house. I could hear the rumblings coming across the lake, you know. And then my daughter runs my, quote, itinerary, if you want. So we had not heard from her.
So we ordered the taxi for 4 o'clock yesterday morning to pick us up from our house to take us to the airport. So my wife said, you do know where we are going, don't you? I said, Norway? Yes, she said, but what airport? I said, don't know. I said, all I know is Beth, my daughter, has told us this is the flight. We get on the flight and travel. So we're on the aeroplane from Cardiff to Amsterdam. My wife says, I'm sure we've been to this airport before. I said, I don't think so. But I said, it doesn't matter. We'll get to the right place. It's okay. Get to Amsterdam, 4 hour wait. And then we see a sign, Torp. Torp. I said, Torp. We're going to Oslo. But the flight number is Torp. This is where faith comes in. My wife says, we're going to Oslo, aren't we? No, I say we're going to Torp. She said, how can you say we're going to Torp? I said, well, the number there on the flight is the number we've got. And we are going to Torp. I don't know where Torp is. But when we get there, somebody's going to meet us. And I said, I think we'll recognize them. I said, this is called a journey of faith. So we get on the plane, get off the plane, lots of people around, and we are looking. I said to my wife, have you got a telephone? I think perhaps we could phone some brothers and ask them if we had the right airport. And we're looking around, and suddenly we saw, just like an angel, Robert. Standing there, with a mighty, great, big wing. I turned to Carol, I said, there we are. All we had to do was just obey and do what we were told. Now, it's just a little illustration to demonstrate this. God oftentimes will tell you to do certain things or go to certain places or will tell you about certain results of what you're doing. But between telling you and between it being fulfilled, there's a lot that goes on. A lot of things go on. And that is called the faith part. Yeah. How many of you have ever seen a trapeze artist in a circus or on the film? You know where they're... And they just go here. They're like this. And suddenly you hear somebody dangling then by their legs the other side, and then you hear them do this. And you think, wow. And then suddenly, this one leaves their trapeze and goes into the air. That's the faith part. Now, the one thing you want to be sure of is your catcher is a friend. Your friend is catching you. That's the faith part. It's letting go of that which has held you for so long and what you have held on for so long. And simply this, when God says to you, let go, you suddenly realize, can I really let it go? But you'll never get to the other side if you don't. Sometimes God tells us, I want to enjoy new life. How do you do that? Live. That phone just went off. Without any encouragement. Just somebody's left a message. Don't look at it. But we've received a new life. It's no longer searching out. We now live by choices. How many of you can remember the Old Testament leader that said this? Choose today who you're going to serve. How many of you can remember that person? Hands up if you remember. Who was it in the Old Testament that told people, I'm set before you today, life and death. Choose life. Who said that? Who said it? Is it Moses or Joshua? Both said it. It's okay, they're only books. It's okay. That's when you're feeling a little, you need a, you know, a fan. You just... It's when people fall out under the power of God, you just detect this. Both said, choose today. But one of them said, choose life or death. And then somebody said, choose life. Because you haven't the ability to make the choice. Yeah. So I'm giving you the answer. God, choose this one. And they were so bright, so intelligent, they chose the other way. Choose life, choose death, choose life, we choose death. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. This is sometimes what's happening. That this is what can happen. How many of you ever go to do some shopping for groceries, for food, or for drinks, or for... How many of you have ever done that? All right, okay. I know there's some young men that you've ever done that because mummy does it all, you know, kind of thing. But sometimes you go to the store and you're going round and you've gone in for bread. So... You're told, your wife says, oh, Kerry, just get one loaf of bread. And the one is written big. So I go, one loaf of bread, get one loaf of bread. So I go away and suddenly a voice says this to me. Buy another one. Now first I have to overcome the natural instinct, because I love bread. I thought, that's not me. This is God. So I go back and buy another loaf of bread. So there's two loaves of bread. I don't really know why. So I get home. My wife is there. She said, how many loaves of bread did I tell you to get? I said, one. So I said, that's the one. Well, why is the other one? That's the one the Lord told me to get. So she says, that's fine. So we're just enjoying food, and then some people arrive at the house. We were not expecting them. We wouldn't naturally have invited them. I'm only telling you what you also think. Some people arrive and you think, wow, if two had come, that's fine, but there's seven of them. And they said, well, we had a bit of difficulty with our car, and the car broke down, etc. That's in the, but we just knew that you lived in the area. Well, that's true, yes. And the car's not going to be ready till tomorrow. Well, that's fine. You can stay here, and all the beds can be made, and you don't need to go anywhere. We've got enough food here. And then in my mind, bread. Why was the bread? We needed bread. Extra bread. Why? Something was going to happen that we did not know about. But we needed to be prepared. God never comes to you to give you a word as an afterthought. He's telling you with prethought. It's called preparation. To obey the Spirit is, I'm preparing you for something you don't know what's going to happen. There are seven of them coming! I knew there were seven of them coming, I'd probably run home to my wife and say, we've got to go on a vacation. But to enjoy life means this, prompted by the Spirit to do that, you do it.
The Bible says this, as many as are led by the Spirit are sons of God. Jesus was baptized in water. Then he was filled with the Spirit and he was led where? Where did the Spirit lead him? Into a wilderness. What happened to him in the wilderness? He was tempted. Did he overcome? Did he win? How did he win? He used the Scriptures to beat the devil. And it said, and he left the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the key to living. You cannot have a church without the Spirit. You cannot be a believer without the Spirit. Turn with me, please, to Romans 8. How many of you love your Bibles? Ah, yes. Romans chapter 8. Let's see what we can find. There you go. And Romans chapter 8. From verse 9. Or shall we read from verse 7. The sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws. And it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. That's the sinful nature. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. This is the fundamental difference between a believer and a non-believer. It's not whether they celebrate Long Friday or early Easter morning. It's not whether they drink or do not drink alcohol. It's not whether they eat kosher food or non-kosher food. It's simply one thing only. The believer has the Spirit of God living in them, and the unbeliever does not have the Spirit of God living in them. That's the only difference. But it's the only fundamental difference, the only main difference. It's the only difference that matters. Because if you have the Spirit in you, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. That is, you can master every situation you face because the Spirit of God lives in you. Not master some things, but all things. You can live a life worthy of Christ because you are no longer living it yourself. You're allowing the Spirit who lives in you to live His life. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And God wants us, therefore, to enjoy life. Turn to somebody now and say, when I see your face, it makes me feel happier. Now, if we are living by the Spirit, and it's essential that we do live by the Spirit, as I said, there cannot be a Christian who hasn't got the Spirit. Every Christian has the Spirit. And it is the Spirit who helps us during our times of weaknesses. The Bible says this. The Spirit is here to help you in the time of your infirmity, when you don't feel strong. It's the Holy Spirit that helps you in your prayer. When you don't know how to pray. You don't know what to pray for. There are times in your life when you'll face situations, and such is the pressure of the circumstances. Please understand, it's circumstances. That is, stances that are around you, outside of you. Make sure that the circumstances remain outside of you. Very important. Once they come in you, you've got a problem. If they're outside of you, you've got challenges. But if the circumstance comes into you, you have a problem. And that's far harder to dislodge. But simply this, when we face the challenges, you're going to face them in this way. The discipline of your time. How many of you in this room today can say, time has flown? Hands up if you could say, I not only know that, I just know that, brother. I know that when I meet some people here today. I met, it's very hard for me to say this, but I met a young man today who is a supporter of Arsenal Football Club. I thought, why am I meeting him? And, but things like that happen. They are challenges. But he reminded me of when I last saw him. He said, I was just so high and you brought me an Arsenal shirt. I said, I did, yeah. I did. I want all of those shirts to be given away. That's only a joke. It's a good, they're a good team. But when we meet each other, I met him and suddenly he's here. Most of the young people I meet today, I always say this to this, remember, when you get this high, remember me. When you're this high and out here, please remember me. Because you look at people and think, time has flown. I remember them here and now. My wife still believes I have fair hair. My children say, Dad, don't believe Mum. Time. Discipline your time. How you spend it. Where you spend it. We only have 24 hours in the day. Every one of us. If you really want to make it with God, can I say this to you? Tithe your time. Give him first place with your time. Give him first place with your time in the Word. To meditate, to chew over the Word, to think of his promises. That no matter what you face in life, a Word keeps coming to you all the time. And you just speak the Word, and speak the Word, and speak the Word. In your prayer time, that you're giving yourself to God to let God speak to you. But give God your time. Discipline your use of money. That's an interesting thing this morning that I said that brought a silence to the club. When we talked about tithing, how many of you remember tithing? Hands up if you remember we mentioned tithing. There are very few hands. Those who are not present, there are very few hands that can remember. This is what the Bible says. First in the book of Deuteronomy. The purpose of the tithe is to teach us the fear of the Lord. That's the first thing. To teach us, that is to teach us that no matter what we do, is putting him first.
Some people say to me, "Brother, we can't afford to do that." You can't afford not to, if you want to prosper. So I had to learn this with my life. If tithing, end of book of Leviticus says, the tithe is the Lord's, it's most holy. If it's his, it ain't mine. So I can't give to him what's his. That's theft. I must bring to him what's his. Now, today we are suddenly going to change all of our financial givings. So we must do the appropriate thing here. Because today is the day of triumph. Watch this. I'm going to stand on the chair. You understand? I want to announce to you today that things are going to change in our financial realm. Hear me carefully. How many of you have believed, as many, many Christians do believe, when we've given our tithe, we've given? So we give our tithe and think, by and large, I have given. I'll give a little bit more, but the little bit more is nowhere compared to what I've given in the tithe. Anybody here believe that? How many of you here believe that the tithe is the Lord's? So, we have 10 kroner, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, up to 10. That's the Lord's. Don't even think about it. What have I got left? What percentage do I have left? 100%. I have 100% to steward. I don't need to worry about the 10 kroner that's gone. That's the Lord's. I'm here to steward this. I would venture to say this, that if there were accountants here, or people looking after the books in the church, or counting up money, they would probably say this. The tithe, yes, that's pretty normal, but if we have to live with the offering to do all that we would like to do, we would struggle. But all of us still have plenty of time for our boat, for our holidays, for our meals out, etc. Because by and large, we've done what we've always believed we should do. We gave our tithes and we gave a little extra. If we want to see the world won, and we want to do our bit as the Church of God to help the poor, and helped the disadvantaged and the displaced and the immigrant and the homeless, we have to do far more. We have to be stewards of our finances in an appropriate way. There is enough money in Norway, this is probably one of the richest countries in the world. There's enough money in Norway that you should never have a homeless person on the street. There's enough money in this country that you should never have anyone without food. It just happens to be as how do you distribute the finances? I say this to you because time's gone. Discipline yourself to godliness is this. Here's a principle. How you and I handle material things will determine what we receive in spiritual things. There's a correlation. How I handle this determines what he gives me in this. Spiritual things come my way when I also handle this in a godly way. I don't tell you this for my sake. I tell you this because I want you all to be successful. Turn to somebody and say, I want you to be successful. We finished now, 12? 12? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that for our brief time, the seeds that have been sown, let them lodge in fertile soil in our hearts. Let us see a change in our own thinking and perception of who we are. And let the world see that we are people that know you. Help us to apply all that we've learned. And let us be successes. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Charlton was about to say something.